This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
They call me the robot that can't be kept in check.
That makes absolutely no sense.
It's been a rough week.
Yeah. Rough week? What are you talking about? It's been a great week.
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah. I got panned at Damon.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm still recovering, I believe, from that.
That's really good. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Hey!
More on the panda that was gotten this week in just a moment. Charles Agnette is here.
Oh, hi.
The raging Canadian, off of his StarCraft II review. He's been so busy playing StarCraft, he hasn't been able to be on GameScoop for like 3 years.
He's been playing it for 3 years.
We get listeners every week asking to have Charles back on the podcast, so I'm sure everyone out there is just squealing with glee right now.
He did make an appearance briefly last episode.
Did I?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Oh, yes. You did stop by very briefly here.
I do a very poor impression of you, but it was...
I've heard Guinness. A lot of impressions around here. They're very accurate.
I believe it was you came and you went...
That's how Geddes does his impression of you. It's actually true. And finally, Craig Harris is here.
Hello.
Another person who hasn't been on in too long.
That's not a lie. This was the core group for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I miss those days.
Yeah.
Every time Nate Ahern comes in here, doesn't even know what a TurboGrafx is.
Little part of you dies inside.
Yeah. Gotta look at his biceps and his beautiful pecs. Gotta go home and visualize that all night long.
You stare at his beautiful pecs during the day.
When I address him with my eyes, yes.
Our lead scoop this week is that the IGN continues to have the coolest fans in the world. In the entire world.
Yeah.
We had a meet and greet this week, as we were just mentioning here, a rare San Francisco meet and greet.
Yep.
We don't have those very often.
I think that's going to change, though. It sounds like this was such a success that they're getting on board with
really
doing
good.
It was
really
awesome. It was at a bar right next to our office, 21st Amendment, where we hang out all the time, and we were totally blown away by the turnout. The place was packed. So many people showed up. I don't know. 3 million people showed up, I think.
The estimate I heard was more than 150.
Yeah.
Because they kept circling in and out. And we had this balcony upstairs, which is meant for like 30 people. Mm-hmm. And we had it wall-to-wall.
I'm surprised they didn't kick anyone
people out.
I mean, there's so many people up there. Yeah. And people were complaining that the balcony was creaking and shifting. that the fire marshal didn't come in and
I bet if he
would have,
they would have, yeah. But
yeah.
It was huge. We took over that bar.
It was good. Yeah. We had an open bar this time. So we don't always...
I was disappointed I missed the free drinks.
Oh, you missed it?
No, I wasn't there.
You could have had
free drinks. I showed up a little too late. That was my own fault.
But then you could have just said, hey,
Greg, bring me over there, and I go, this guy's an editor, and then you would have been fine.
Oh, see,
you
didn't have to pay. Yeah, I didn't realize they could play the specialty card.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was a password involved, which is really weird. I mean, it was great.
Was
that
a password?
Well, the password is I'm an editor.
Oh, okay.
But
it's not a very good password.
It's not a very good password. But I mean, like, you know, you couldn't, because you know, there's so many people there, and the bartender doesn't know who.
Yeah. In the end, they had to start. They would make me bring people over and say this guy's cool.
Right.
Make him drink.
We had a DDR tournament.
Yep.
I won.
You did win. Yeah. We had a fan come out and play us, and she was the first eliminated.
Yes.
Which was very rare whenever
she
we do a tournament.
She had never played DDR before.
Yeah. Clearly, it wasn't a process of, you know, like, you know, figuring out if they actually can do DDR.
No, yeah. Not at all.
Yeah, it was interesting that I thought that it was a DDR tournament, because that game has sort of fallen out of favor for like, social-type gaming like that, and like, for, you know, Guitar Hero or Rock Band or something like that.
We didn't pick it. It was that's all on the marketing side of things.
I think that's just a visually exciting game to watch me play, right? I mean,
on easy.
you watch the video of me and you doing it, or me and Clements doing it, and like I'm being an idiot, and he's being stupid. I'm pushing him over. Like in Rock Band, we would just be plank, and you know what I mean. Like, I think that's what it comes down to.
I think people
jumped on a beam when I won.
I think people enjoyed it.
Yeah, people had a great time. Everything I heard,
they were hooting and hollering.
Yeah,
but it was awesome meeting everybody there, meeting all the readers and the listeners. You guys are super cool. It was great. And your next chance is already upon us. Actually, this evening, the IGN Cruise.
Friday.
Friday, August.
You're not going to have much time to get over there once this podcast goes.
I know. I've been posting about it on my networks. But we're going to be at the Powell Street GameStop in San Francisco tonight, right off Union Square. There's a Halo Reach preview event, so a bunch of IGN editors are going to be there. We got our cool Comic-Con t-shirts we're going to be giving out. Also, more importantly, though, the first four people that find me at this event and tell me the password Scoop, I will pay for your entire pre-order of Halo Reach.
That's cool.
So only the first four people.
Mr. Moneybags.
Right,
look at this guy.
Yeah. Find me, tell me the password Scoop, I will pay for your full pre-order for Halo Reach for you.
Find me, and I'll play Peace Walker with you. On my
and you carry Peace Walker with you like 24 hours
a day.
Yeah.
You never know when it's going to pop up.
He does randomly run into people who have their PSP with them and want to play Peace Walker. I've seen it happen.
I love it so much. Yeah. If you say Beyond Me, I might have a free game to give you as well.
How are you going to give a free game?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Going to carry a code in your pocket? And...
No, these will be retail disc games.
Pockets are enormous. They're just stuffed with PSP games. There's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it won't be a PSP game. This will be a game you'll want.
Oh.
It's true.
Have you finally come around?
No, I know. I know everybody hates it in this room.
That's not true. That's not true. I just don't play it.
Six-year tale still. That's what's going to be written on your gravestone by me.
So are you actually going to make my gravestone?
I hope when you leave IGN,
I'll
Craig,
call my parents
on the
say,
dark day when you leave IGN, I hope they let me give you your goodbye speech. And I'll say, during his 15-year tailspin at IGN.
Oh, man. That's so mean.
I know.
Man, are you that invested in the PSP that you would just slam my
Greg Miller
life?
Is pretty heavily invested in the PSP.
I am not that invested in it. I admit that everything it has wrong with it. It's just when everybody says it's a failure, that's when my hair stands up like Portillo and I start barking.
That's where Portillo gets it. He gets it from his dad.
I learned it from watching you, Dad. All right, Wednesday.
Yeah.
We went out. Uh-huh. We did this meet and greet.
Yeah.
You and I got Panda.
Yeah. I think somebody roofied me actually. Because I was like I was having a good time. And instantly I was blind drunk and like couldn't stand up straight.
Do you think it's just that you've been DDRing? Did maybe you stop DDRing and then the alcohol caught up to you?
Well, it could be. We also didn't eat dinner.
I have a question. Did anyone offer to do Jaeger shots on the top of a Vegas hotel?
They wanted to do Jaeger shots. Not on the top of a Vegas hotel.
Okay. And they had a beard. I didn't know if it was turning into a hangover situation.
Yeah, I know. But well, there. I don't know. The guy really wanted to do a Irish car bomb with me too.
Did you do it?
Did they even do that?
I made a plan to do it, but I don't think we actually ended up doing it.
Yeah.
Probably for the best.
What beer would they use for an Irish car bomb?
They have a stout there.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But I don't know if they have hard alcohol at that.
They have a full bar.
Upstairs, we were only a beer bar.
Yeah. I ordered one and got punched in the face by the bill, which was slightly too expensive.
You ordered a what?
A whiskey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what whiskey did you order?
It was. I don't even remember.
Did you expense it?
I should. I can't talk about that.
So you're still recovering, Greg? You're still... How are you feeling?
I was super tired yesterday, and that when I get tired, I get cranky, and then when things go wrong, I get even more cranky. So last night I was I was exhausted by the end of the day. Just didn't want to do any work, which isn't, I guess, epic. But you know, I finally decided I'm going to go home and I'm going to play Mafia 2 because I got that. I got the debug disc. I got my debug unit. I'm not going to bring home my computer. So.
You are reviewing Mafia 2 for IGN.com.
Thank you. Yes. Here's the hold up there too. I also, the day before getting Mafia 2, got Dead Rising 2.
Yes.
Debug code.
Yes.
I want to play Mafia 2, but I'm a huge Dead Rising fan, so I want to play Dead Rising 2 more. That's like, you know, me really wanting to play a game. So last night, I'm like, no, screw it. I got to focus. I got it. Mafia 2 is out a month beforehand. I need to play this. I need to get this done, blah, blah, blah. I pack the giant debug in my bag, sling it over my shoulder, put the game in there. I get home. I'm already tired when I left the office. When I get home, I'm even more exhausted. I'm sweaty. I've got this giant debug. I hook it all up. I put it in. I need some stupid button combination to get past the security so I can play Mafia 2.
Yes.
Because they put a protected disk.
Yes, yes.
So I email 2K. They email me back. I do it. Then, oh, it's not registered in my username. So I can't play it. So I hate it when
they make it difficult for us to do our job.
They had already taken my name and they had already taken my IP address and or whatever MAC address and yada yada yada. So all these emails start going back. I create a new username. I'm sending nothing. So I'm sitting there with this giant debug I hauled home. Can't play the game I was supposed to play. I didn't bring Dead Rising 2 because I didn't want to be tempted to play Dead Rising 2. So I just sat there and stared at the debug.
It's a rough life.
It's terrible. These are what I have to live with.
Yeah, the only question I have about Mafia 2, and I haven't had a chance to play the game yet, but if there's a ridiculously difficult car race driving situation about 2 hours into the game, then I will be very disappointed. It was an annoying part of Mafia of the first game. Yeah. I think that most people would point out is it's like you just race around this oval in like this old school like race car, and it's completely unnecessarily difficult in that game, and it's like this huge speed bump to progression, like where otherwise it's like the original was a great experience. I love that game, but except for that part. I don't know what the deal was.
In general, in these like sandbox GTA type games, I really don't like the car missions. Like chase someone down in your car. Oh, they got away. Guess you gotta try it again. Like I really find those missions to be aggravating.
Well, compared to something like GTA, like the on foot combat in Mafia was actually really good. Like at the time, at least. I mean, things have changed.
I played the version at the party from a month ago. Was it 3 weeks ago? I was having a good time with that demo. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to that game.
I think it's a fun game.
I like the presentation of it. Like I like the music. Mm-hmm. I like the era cars. I like all that. Like that, I really dig.
I think the gunplay is satisfying.
Yeah,
it's got a cover system, which I appreciate. I don't like how you get into fist fights in the game, and then it's just like a
button masher.
Well, it's like you have a light punch and a hard punch, and you just have to wait for the guy to drop his guard down and then punch him.
So it turns into Punch Out.
Kinda, yeah.
But do I have kind to figure out
nothing
patterns?
Wrong with Punch Out.
No.
I have to punch him in the stomach before punching him in the face.
But yeah, I mean, they've still got the cops that'll come like give you tickets and stuff if you go.
Yeah,
too fast.
I think they're a little too aggressive actually for a game. You know, it's like. I'm just trying to get to my mission. You're pulling me over for speeding? Like, I just want to play a game. I don't want to play real life.
It's realistic.
Well, did they have the restrictor thing, the speed limit restrictor when you played?
What's the restrictor?
If you're not trying to get away, you're just trying to get to a mission.
Yeah.
You can. I think it's toggle X.
Okay.
And then it'll never let you go.
Won't
over
let
the
you
speed
go.
Limit.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That way you can just drive and not worry about it.
I didn't have that. Yeah. You have to find that or something, or can you just do it?
No.
From
I've only been able. To, I played before they gave me the review code that I couldn't access last night. I played some of the PS3 specific DLC missions they're giving. I'll have a preview up today on IGN.com.
There you go.
And there they had it where I could just toggle that on and not go over the speed limit and just drive and not worry about it.
I see.
And
so you have DLC content before you even have the game?
They came by to show
me
that.
That's weird.
Well, same thing with Dead Rising Case Zero. We have that too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Well, this isn't before. You'll need the game to play this.
Right, that's what I mean. It's like, so you couldn't get the game to work, but you can get the DLC to work.
But this is when they came by with it. This is when Jenny Sue from 2 came by and showed me the game.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, this week we put up a feature. Our favorite games of 2010.
Yeah, big shockers on there.
So far.
Yeah.
What, shockers, really? Are you being facetious?
Yes, I am. Everyone, Mass Effect, Mass Effect.
Yeah,
Red Dead.
Mass Effect, Mass Effect. So many Mass Effects on there.
I'm the only one that said Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
Only one. And like the kids are like, oh, I can't believe no one else at the IGN likes...
It's not that we don't like it. If you have to pick one favorite game, that's people... I mean...
Yeah, I played quite... I don't remember how many stars I have. It's between like 60 and 70 in that game.
So you haven't beat the game completely.
But I have not beat the game completely. But yeah,
so
that's a great game.
It doesn't matter.
Well, no, I had a really good time. I had a really good time playing that game, but yeah, it wasn't. I wouldn't pick it for best of the year, at least so far. I mean, there's still a lot of games to come out.
Now, what was the title of the article? Is it best or favorite?
Our favorite.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
That's because it
just each editor's personal favorite game.
Thank you. I just want to make sure
this isn't IGN selecting a game of the year already.
If we had to do ballots right now, I would still vote Mass Effect best game. But my favorite I put on the thing was Peace Walker because I'm still playing that. I've put so many hours into it. And I still enjoy it so much, and I think it's a cool experience.
I said Mass Effect 2. What did you say, Charles?
I actually put StarCraft on there.
Okay, yeah.
Which nobody else put.
Oh, I haven't had a chance to play
it. Yeah, people are just scratching the surface on that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Clements loves that thing.
He does.
Don't shut up.
The StarCrafts?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's sort of gotten people talking about... I mean, the game itself is a lot of fun, but I think what's interesting is that it's sort of gotten people talking about PC gaming again on a much wider scale. Like, people who normally wouldn't, like, be interested are just like, hey, can I play that game?
And that,
like,
and Civ 5. Everyone's,
yeah, Civ 5
everyone's
really want to play.
So down with those two games.
Yeah, Civ 5, well, yeah, we've been playing that for preview, and it is a lot of fun. That game is really good so far. And it's really good because they've made sort of adjustments to the interface and everything so that people who have never played a Civ game before or never played like strategy titles like that, like turn-based strategy games, it's really easy to get into and like understand everything that you're supposed to do. So I think that will be a very cool game when it comes out.
Is it coming out this year?
Yeah, it's actually coming out at the end of September.
Oh, wow.
Or mid-September? I don't know. September.
When Germany's over, Charles, and we can sit back, you and I have fun. Because I know how you're caught up in the Germany.
You're talking about the Gamescom show.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is coming up in a week and a half, I think.
Yeah.
Charles, Craig, and I will all be there.
So I will be here doing my own game scoop. Call it Greg Scoop. Just be me in here telling you what I... Here's my chance to finally air some of my ideas about all these video games y'all are reading about.
Greg talking to his Echo off the wall.
Just how loud can I be for 2 hours? Anyways, you need to come set up the gaming PC I have underneath my desk. I need your help.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what cables exactly I need, and I want to make sure I have it running so I can be on the DCU PC beta, because that'll probably launch before PS3.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then I want to play Civ.
Yeah, that game's coming out, and Final Fantasy 14 is actually coming out right after Civ, or soon after it, which should be fairly interesting. I haven't had a chance to play that game yet, but I don't know, hopefully they've made it.
Are people excited about that one?
For 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Comes out? So, like, two numbered Final Fantasy games are coming out this year?
Yeah, so, I mean, 14 is basically the continuation of 11.
Right.
And from what I understand, they've made adjustments so that if you were to play Final Fantasy XI, you can level up a little bit, and then eventually you hit a wall where it's like, if you do not go find a group in that game, you're going to get your face smashed in, and you can't make any progression. So it basically forces grouping upon you, which some people that basically caters to like the more hardcore crowd who are like, okay, I'm going to go sit in a town and spam chat channels until I get a full group for like an hour and a half. It's like you need a lot of time to be able to put that together, whereas 14 is supposed to be more like solo friendly. So it's like, look, I don't want to sit around and find all these people to play with. I'm just going to go out and kill stuff and have a good time.
Yeah.
So that's allegedly what the deal is supposed to be, but I haven't had much of a chance to play it yet. However, I would like to.
if anyone's listening.
but it also looks very pretty, which I think helps for an MMO, because if you're going to spend like, you know, like, who knows, like over 100 hours in a virtual world, like if it looks like crap, then it's really disappointing.
Steimer came home last night and was very excited about this Cataclysm. She started playing it last night.
Cataclysm.
She just ranted about all the stuff that's in it. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Cataclysm is like some of the best questing I've ever done in an MMO.
Yeah. She's like, you don't get mounts to level 20, but they have these things that like, I was riding a raptor. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, the quest design in Cataclysm is really fun. That game is... It seems like that's going to be a really good expansion. And like, because the last two WoW expansions have been sort of for... have been sort of for like the higher level crowd to do... and then Cataclysm seems like it'll appeal to people who've like, I've never played WoW before, what's the big deal? And they're like retweaking a bunch of old content so that you can sort of do the entire level progression with different stuff, I guess. Which I haven't checked out the entirety of that, but from what I've seen of the early level stuff, it's really cool.
Have you played DC Universe Online?
I have not played. Oh, actually, that's not true. I played that like a year and a half ago at like a preview event for like an hour and a half. So that's it. Okay. I don't know if that's a very accurate representation of what it's like now.
Yeah. All right.
It was okay. I mean,
I was just making sure. I always like to talk to someone. When it comes around to beta, I want you to play it and tell me if I'm okay to be excited for this.
Okay.
Because I'm very excited for it, but I don't know if it's going to be bad.
But, I mean, you can go in and play it. You create your own superhero
Correct.
In that game? Yeah, yeah.
Or a villain.
But you meet up with the real licensed ones, right?
Yeah. You
just want to hang out and have a drink with Superman.
You have like a Godfather kind of thing.
Right.
So like Superman
or
could
a godmother
or a godmother, correct?
And clearly, your godfather is going to be
Superman. Of course, Superman, yeah. I want to fly.
Getting right just back to StarCraft 2 for just a moment here, Charles. You gave it a 9.
I did.
Right? So I read your review. It seems to be your gist of it. Really, really good game, but it doesn't take the RTS to the next level.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's obviously very popular. Like yeah. when I was playing over the weekend, last weekend, like there were like about 1.5 million people on Battle.net. Like when I was signing on, jeez. Which was, oh. I mean, there's clearly a lot of people playing it. But yeah, I mean, it's a totally old school RTS design.
That's cool.
Which is
yeah,
fine.
I'm down
which
with
is
that.
Which
That's
is just
great.
Fine. I yeah. mean, it's just yeah, it's just it's an incredibly well presented game that's just built out. There's an insane amount of content in there. Super high production values all over the place, and really tightly designed, very well balanced gameplay.
It's kind of brilliant that Blizzard has the scheme they have going is that they're going to get people to buy StarCraft 2 three times.
Well, right? So yeah, and I that is something that people were slightly upset about when it was first announced that they're basically splitting the StarCraft storyline into three parts. Yeah. So the first one, the one that just came out, Wings of Liberty, is if you don't care about the multiplayer, it's the single player campaign that's just basically focused on the Terrans. Although you do play as another faction in the campaign, which I won't spoil in case people haven't played it. But then you have to wait for the Zerg-focused campaign, which is the next one, mm-hmm. and then the Protoss one, which comes after that. And who knows when those are going to come out. I mean,
yeah.
we don't know at this point. People were upset initially because in the first StarCraft, you could play as all three factions in the story mode, although mm-hmm. it was only 10 missions per faction. And in this one, you get like 26 or so missions for mm-hmm. the Terran specifically. So it's still a huge campaign.
Yeah.
Do they do a lot of like cutscenes and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of in-game cutscenes in StarCraft.
Maybe that's how they justify it. Like there's a huge storyline for each of the factions now. So they just separate it out into all three.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think the expansions are going to be full price.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, because, I mean, they'll be making tweaks to the multiplayer portion of the game just through patches and stuff like that for balancing, and then I'm assuming they'll be, like, expansion priced for the additional single-player content if you want to download it. So, I mean, I don't think it's that big a deal. StarCraft II, as it stands right now, is still an amazing game.
Mm. And tell me about the Lost Vikings Easter egg in there?
Oh, so that's just, I mean, it's called Lost Viking, but it's a top-down arcade shooter.
So it's nothing like the game Lost Vikings?
It's not that game.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a top-down arcade shooter where you play as a Viking that shoots stuff.
Yeah, I had to reread the story over and over again. It's like, oh, Lost Viking,
I thought it was about
wait,
the game
no,
Lost
this
Vikings.
Has nothing to do with
no, it. It's just
they're just taking the name and then creating a whole different game based on it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, that review thread that I've been reading through the review thread under there, that is the angriest 9.0 review thread that I've
people
read.
People angry about that?
Oh my God, people are so angry.
Dude, chill out, people. Yeah. Come on. 9.0 is such a good score.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a very safe play from Blizzard because, you know, they didn't introduce any new factions. They didn't really introduce, like, huge, you know, gameplay mechanics in there that would really switch things up, which they've done before. I mean, between like Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3, there were a lot of changes made to that gameplay system, whereas this one is very much sort of the same thing with some tweaks and some new units, and it's, you know, it's still an amazing game. It's just, you know, it's sort of what you'd expect.
The important thing is you had a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think a 9.0 is a very strong recommendation
yes,
for anyone to go get that game. But yeah, I think what I like most about it is that it has gotten people like talking about
playing
upgrading
PC.
Their PCs,
yeah, exactly.
talking about like, oh well, you know, how should I, you know, comprise my control groups in the game, and you know, just talking about specifics of PC stuff that just I haven't heard people talk about in quite some time. So that's pretty cool.
Greg Miller.
Yeah, but
Batman, Arkham City.
Announced.
Yeah.
Catwoman's in it.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
What's we think the whole deal with Arkham City is?
Well, it makes it sound like Arkham has taken over Central City. If you remember the first trailer they debuted to was like a part of Gotham City kind of walled off, quarantined, taking over. So I don't know exactly what's happening. It would make it seem like, doesn't it say somewhere in Jim's story there about, I thought there was some kind of vague description of something like Arkham's taking over a giant part of the city, but
Who built the walls, though? That's my question.
Yeah, right, because it doesn't, well, and it's just a teaser trailer, too, so who knows how much of that's actually in actuality, but it would make it seem like either they moved Arkham there and it kind of exploded one night and they had to, you know, part of the city's quarantine, Batman's got to get in there and stop everything. Or maybe, yeah, they, you know, part of Gotham City went down and they took over there, kind of like No Man's Land back in the day. Mm. Nobody read that, though, I don't think, other than me. But yeah, there's a lot of things. There's a lot to be answered still, a lot of questions.
You like these Game Informer covers?
Love these Game Informer covers, don't you?
Yeah.
They look awesome.
They're really nice.
No one's questioning if that means the game will be in black and white.
Well, actually, one listener wrote in with a question about this. Okay. This is Corey. He wondered if this artwork has anything to do with a new detective mode in Arkham City.
Yeah, that'd be interesting too. A lot of people, that was one of the not complaints, but I guess maybe knocks people had against it, is that like my first time through
just
that game,
I used it so long
that I didn't even notice how awesome that game looks.
Yeah, I was in detective mode the whole game.
Exactly right.
I didn't want to miss anything.
It was so helpful. Yeah, and it made you be able to see everything. So I don't know. That's possible. You know, Batman Black and White's a popular comic as well. Maybe that has something to do with it too. But that cover looks awesome. A lot of people are questioning if that means co-op is involved too, since Catwoman's on there as kind of a major player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would love it if that were not in the game.
Yeah, well, we were talking about me and Hillary the other day, and we have a feature going up on this as well today, geeking out over this.
Too much co-op or what?
Well, no, about how you could use that and not ruin the experience for us. If it's going to be forced, or not forced, but if it's the entire game needs to be co-op, we'd much rather see it be Robin, because that would make more sense for what you think of.
Yeah.
If it was just challenge rooms, similar to how like Batman, the Arkham Asylum had them, and then you had you and Catwoman working as a team doing stuff in challenge rooms, that's fine. But as a story itself, I don't know if I'd want to do that. But then Christine was super excited when she thought that's what it meant. So
yeah,
different strokes.
It's just the problem with some of the co-op, and I mean, you see it in some games, and you see it lessened in others. Is that if a game is built for co-op, then playing is just by yourself is way less interesting.
Yeah, right.
Because it just feels like, wow, I should really be playing this cooperatively.
Yeah. You figure Uncharted balanced it pretty well. Like, you know, Uncharted, you can go play the co-op missions, and those are a lot of fun, but then the story itself is still single player. Go out and have fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like a Crackdown 2, you know, where you hit those Xbox Live tokens. Mm-hmm. It kind of annoyed me, even though that game's not that great. You know, just running around and see it. Hey, I found it. Oh, wait, I have to get some, you know, go online and have someone help me out to get that thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big co-op fan.
Yeah, like Gears, for example, is still fun to play by yourself.
True.
But I was thinking of something like Command & Conquer 4, which has cooperative solo missions that are just... You can tell that they're built specifically for co-op, because if you jump in as a single player, it's just like, why am I playing this as a single player?
Yeah.
Like, this
yeah.
is silly. And Arkham Asylum was such a cool game.
It was
like
an awesome
as a
game.
As a single player experience,
and
that you wouldn't want that like messed up by
Rocksteady. I mean, proved that they know what they're doing with Batman, so I don't think they take a gamble like that and give you this game's going to suck if you play it alone.
Now, isn't that thing that they tell you what Catwoman's. Is she in there for?
We don't know.
Playable? Is she a playable character? Or is she just in the game?
Yeah.
So maybe she's just a driving force for the story.
True. Yeah,
she
maybe.
Just shows up, say, "Hey, go that way," and then she disappears. You know.
Throws a smoke bomb.
It's like a comic book, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, that's a Game Informer. We'll know more when that hits the stands.
Batman: Arkham City coming next fall, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC.
Heyo.
Booyah.
True Crime. Hong Kong.
Yeah?
Delayed.
What?
Not coming this year.
I was going to pre-order that tonight.
Nope.
God damn it.
Was that on your schedule?
Yeah, when I get to this Halo Reach event, I wanted to be number one in line in order. I don't want your Halo, sir. Can I please pre-order True Crime?
That's not coming this year.
Not a surprise.
Yeah, I know you've seen the game before. And,
It was not in a state where it needed to be released yet.
Yeah, but hopefully this means that we have more time to go to true crime events.
Yes,
because
with strippers dancing on poles.
Yeah, because the true crime GDC event is still one of the best events.
I got kicked in the face and still loved it
by a pole dancer.
Yeah.
maybe the most epic photo Greg and I have ever appeared in was taken that night.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Craig, how's that Metroid Other M shaping up?
Well, I saw it on Monday, and I'm digging it. But yeah, I'm not digging it as if it's going to be like this most amazing experience ever.
Dun. Okay. So you're saying Fran's going to cry?
I think Fran will like the story.
Uh-huh.
The story is great. I mean, the cutscenes are fantastic, but the game itself just feels.
What are you laughing about?
I didn't remember me.
I forgot about that.
Remember me?
That was so good. No, no, That was... Of course, nobody remembers you.
In the trailer. But no, the game itself is kind of a throwback to the old side-scrolling Super Metroid or Metroid or Metroid Zero Mission, Metroid Fusion. But now it's... they kind of free her up into a 3D. You can go into the foreground and background. And I think that's kind of where the game has its flaws. Because, you know, when you play a side-scrolling game, you point at the enemies that you want to shoot at, and you actually have to have skillful aiming to shoot at these enemies. However, in this game, enemies are all around you, and all you have to do is just kind of, like, point in the direction and just hit fire, and it automatically targets all those enemies. So it feels like it plays its health half the time.
Sometimes I kind of like that. I like the auto aim because it makes me feel like more of a badass.
Yeah, but I mean, the games like was it Shadow Complex kind of did that auto aiming too.
Yeah, but not too much.
Not too much, and it didn't feel like the game played itself. And you still had to know that those enemies were over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This one, you know, they're just off screen, and it's like, okay, I'm just going to point, you know, Samus in a 360 fashion, just keep firing. Okay, it takes out those enemies.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, I'm playing it completely out of context. Maybe it's, you know, maybe later in the game. It is hard. Don't get me wrong. Like, there are some certain parts where you actually have to do, like, one-on-one battling with enemies.
Well, this is Team Ninja. They make hard games.
Yeah. I did die a couple times in my demo, and it was only a half-hour demo, so a couple times in a half-hour is...
Sure, Craig Harris.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to...
Comes out this month.
Comes out the last week of this month.
August, that's crazy.
August 31st. Why is that crazy?
I feel like it's a Metroid game, and there's no talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, is that true, Craig?
I feel that Nintendo has kind of gone quiet. A lot of stuff's coming out of Japan. I think maybe Nintendo of America's their hands are tied behind their backs.
Okay.
You know what they can talk about. In Japan, they're doing some really cool behind the scenes videos that Nintendo for some reason hasn't translated or put online here. Like they're all in Japanese, no subtitles. Hmm. So
maybe they're just insulting us.
I don't know. But the weird thing is, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it more interesting in Japan than in the U.S. Because in the U.S., Metroid is way bigger
than
in Japan. Yeah. Hmm. Like in Japan, it's kind of a good series, but it's not fantastic.
It's not out in Japan yet, is it?
No. No, they're coming around the same time.
Okay.
But I'm not sure what day it's coming out in Japan. I should have the full version by the weekend, and I'll be playing through it. Before I disappear off the Gamescom.
Yes.
So I got to have this game plowed through and reviewed before I leave.
That's true.
So,
Is Gamescom going to be fun, Charles?
I hope so.
Is it going to be a good show?
It certainly looks like there's going to be a large presence of pretty much everything there. So it's very much like a full show. Mm. Like, everyone's going to be there. I'm not sure what kind of announcements there'll be or if there'll be... I mean, last year's show was... it was the first time Gamescom had happened, which is a show in Cologne. Before, it was GamesCon, and that happened in Leipzig, and then it sort of switched over. There's still something that happens in Leipzig, but I don't know.
Everyone's kind of
I don't know if anyone covers it, unfortunately, for Leipzig. But last year was like Sony held a press conference where they unveiled the Slim, which was kind of a big deal, and Microsoft had a press conference where they announced Fable 3. So I don't know if we'll see anything quite on that scale this year, but we shall see. It is coming up fairly soon. There'll certainly be an opportunity to see like all the major titles and stuff like that.
Are you excited, Damon?
I'm going to see all the major titles.
Is that the slogan for their t-shirt?
Gamescom 2010. All the major titles.
See all the major titles.
Greg, we played some DJ Hero 2 last week.
We did.
You and I did.
Yeah. You rocked the turntables. I rocked the mic.
Yep. So what I was playing on turntables was very similar to the first game, but the vocals have been largely enhanced.
Because they're there now.
This time, yeah. Well, you could do, but you could hook up a mic and.
But it didn't put up the words or anything,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, now you've got like the karaoke stuff, you know, music game. Style words
like
coming across
band,
the screen.
Pretty much,
So how did you find it?
It was pretty much what I expected, which is a disappointment. Like when they first announced it, I was and showed it. We were at that Activision event where that girl came out and sang that Lady Gaga song, right?
Yeah.
And the problem for me is that like when I want to sing karaoke, especially for a song I really love, I want to sit there and sing it. You know what I mean? Whereas this one, it was Warren G. Regulate. and Nelly Hot and Hurt. And I love Nelly. I love me some Nelly Charles. Oh, let me tell you, growing up in Missouri. Yeah, that's
you
where
didn't
was.
Grow up in Missouri.
I like
during Nelly I was, damn it, I became an adult there.
I like the correct pronunciation on her.
Her. Thank you. Yeah, well I want to make sure people understand that I'm a Saint Lunatic for life.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways, yeah. So like I like that song a lot. So I you know that's he's the major part for the first part of that song or whatever. But you're repeating lines because you know like they're sampling it obviously.
Yeah, so like these are remixes or mashups, and they chop up the vocals.
Exactly.
And, like,
so it doesn't play out the way you would. So I'm all set to make a jump to the chorus, and that's not where they're going. Yeah. And then they drop in some Regulate, which I don't know. Not only do I not know Regulate very well, other than like you know the major hooks to that song, they're dropping in not the hooks, and they're dropping it in, and I can't hear it, like the beat that you're scratching out isn't the song. So yeah. I don't know where I'm supposed to be pitch wise, and I don't.
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, it seemed like it's odd because the mixes in DJ Hero don't exist anywhere else. So you don't know them right off the bat. You don't know how the lyrics have been chopped up and rearranged and all that.
And so that's what I took away from, like, it was, you know, at one point I just stopped. I was just singing Hot and Hurt. Like, I was like, I don't care, whatever. And so it's one of those things where I think it would be more interesting if, like, this took off and you and I played it all the time and, like, I would start off scratching and then get to know how the song would go and then want to sing it.
Yeah.
But then I don't even think I'd want to sing that because it just doesn't seem like it's the song I'd want.
I'm sure you get all your timing gets all screwed up when you do the whole rewind thing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that. I still think it's super fun to play on turntables, but yeah, looks like maybe the vocal aspect of it might be a little awkward.
Yeah.
I thought this was an interesting news story. Also an example of a really good headline. You can't hate George Lucas anymore. When I saw the headline, I was like, what do you mean I can't? I love to hate on George Lucas. That guy ruined everything I loved, my childhood.
Well, created and then ruined it.
Yeah, exactly. In all fairness. But no, apparently he's taking part in this, the Giving Pledge program, which I had not heard of. Anybody familiar with this?
No.
Bill Gates and Warren Buffett's program where they convince billionaires to give away like half of their fortunes to charity.
Oh, yeah, I'm part of that.
Oh!
Yeah. I forgot to mention that, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that, Charles.
Yeah.
George Lucas is giving away half of his fortune to charity, so yeah, I have to admit, that's pretty cool.
Let's make
that's
it back
just
with
one
new
charity
toys.
Or multiple charities? Or is it?
Why,
or give half his fortune to Bill Gates, and then Bill Gates decides which for charity.
Probably,
to.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's sponsoring the next IGN meet and greet.
There you go.
It's gonna be in space.
Space.
Little do those starving kids know that knowledge is his treasure.
I'll give away half my treasure. It's knowledge.
GameScoop listener Keith Turrand has a download code for Alan Wake DLC The Signal to Ooh. Share with you listeners here. The Signal is you can get it free if you bought Alan Wake used or new. I'm sorry, but if you bought it used, then here's a code which apparently it's a lot of fun. Our own David Clayman played through it, reviewed it. What are you laughing about?
I'm just smiling. I'm sorry.
Why?
How do you airdrop knowledge on? I don't know. Know what that was like. Is it just an empty box? And
George
it's just,
Lucas is going to be dropping knowledge.
It's was like somebody A through M just drops.
Was somebody like shouting knowledge into a box and then created it up? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you can
George Lucas
that.
Shouts it.
Transfer that.
What I was smiling about is that sometimes listeners, Damon, you know, he prints off all the news there and he's got it and he brings in photos sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And Damon doesn't tell us what the news scoops are or what the emails are going to be or what the photos are going to be, but I can see through the back page and I'm excited to see what this last photo is all about.
It's good. It's good.
Okay.
It's really good. Anyway, here's the code for The Signal, downloadable episode for Alan Wake. Super fun. You're going to want to play it. Here we go. V9CDY. 34XJT R69MK 944T373P6T. Good luck, whoever enjoys the signal. Make sure you send good vibes to Keith Torrent.
Is that for the 360?
Yeah.
Did you bring in my code?
Well, it's Alan Wake is a 360
exclusive.
Yeah. Which one? The DC Universe? I did not.
All right. So people can call you at your desk. Then
what do you think about this? Jesus. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
This is Miles. And remember, listeners, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Miles did, right here. He says, hey, Scoop team, my name is Miles. Love the show. Keep doing it. Okay, we will. A few days ago, I was running with my brother, and I had recently been playing GTA 4 for the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
I think the game's amazing, so I was talking about some awesome things about the game. Later, I asked him why he doesn't play it, thinking he would like that kind of action-oriented game. You think it's like
fast-paced action genre? Fast-paced
action genre. However, he replied that games of that amount of content and length scare him. Don't get me wrong, he is a gamer who plays many hours a day. He continued to say that he is afraid to commit to longer games. I can understand this reply to a 100-hour RPG, but GTA isn't really that long. He's logged around 60 hours of Bad Company 2 online and has played many other games on the system, so obviously he can commit to a video game. I think he is more afraid to experience a lengthy story instead of committing. Anyway, my question is, have you ever been afraid to put some hours into a game because you know how deep it is? I'm not trying to change my brother, but his argument amazes and confuses me.
I've never been scared to do it, but there's definitely days where I don't feel like it.
You know who doesn't like long games?
Craig Harris.
Craig Harris.
That's me.
So you can identify with Miles' brother.
Oh, I can, yeah. If it's going to be like a 40-hour experience, that's a lot of time to invest.
Yeah. What about GTA 4, which was like, you know,
again, that's
20,
one of those
12,
games I like playing it, but it's like, yeah, it's there's so much to do in that game that I just want to get it over with, you know?
And do so the
like,
story missions.
Yeah.
And fast
so
that's why I don't understand why you can't beat Limbo. That game is like 3 hours long.
No, I have – okay, so – no, it's just the timing of me playing Limbo. It's just I haven't gone back to it yet. I mean, I would play through it a bunch, and then I had to stop for a bit, and then it's just I haven't played any game yet. So
you haven't played any game?
No, not since Limbo. Not since finishing or ending where I'm at Limbo. This weekend, we'll finish it. So absolutely. It's a great game.
I like long games, although it can be a game can be too long. I thought Red Dead Redemption was too long.
That's one of them right there. I'm in the middle of Mexico and I've walked away from it. Like I've just
I heard Mexico is really like
it totally loses steam when you go down to Mexico.
Exactly, that was the problem.
But then I think Fallout 3 is a bigger game, and I never got tired of that. You know, I still play Fallout 3.
In Fallout 3, I felt like it was, you know, you can have multiple quests open and you can complete them and it pops up and it's very rewarding, quest complete.
Yeah.
And that's a great time to go, great, save, done for the night. You know what I mean? Whereas Red Dead, you know, I kill a bunch of cougars or whatever and then I ride to one town and then I see a stranger. You know, I mean, there's always something popping up that's in my way that it's like, oh, well, I can try to complete this and get it done.
Yeah, I like digging into the longer single player games like that. But if it's an MMO experience, then I'm much more selective about what I choose to sort of dig into.
Yeah.
Because it represents such a time commitment if you're going to get involved in an MMO that you just sort of have to like pick one and stick with it, especially if you know people playing.
Yep. Yeah. All right, this is Paul Barbara says. He wants us to start saying like all the listeners want us to say scoop more often. I know we
scoop.
Should. We never think about it. So his question is: given we've had a bumper start to 2010 and a great holiday season lined up for the Xbox 360, I do feel currently that there's nothing to play. I haven't experienced this since the days of owning a Nintendo GameCube, but nevertheless, what suggestions do you have for some games to pick up or give a go during this time of need? He says I did manage to pick up Limbo on XBLA. It is awesome. Well, Paul, you should also check out Deathspank, another recent XBLA game. Super, super fun. Our own Christine Steimer reviewed it. Gave it an 8.5, I believe.
Sounds right.
What does a bumper start mean?
I think he means like bumper crop.
Okay.
Yeah.
A giant. We had so many great games in the first half of the
we
year.
We did, yeah.
Okay.
True.
Or Banner.
Did he really get through them all? That's what I mean. I would look back at what's come out. I doubt you've played every.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. Don't get me wrong, but. It's impressive.
But if he's looking for something that came out recently right now, like Deathspank is super – you can spend a lot of time in that game. It's really addictive, loot drop, questing, action RPG game. Mm-hmm. Super fun.
I'm looking forward to playing Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, me too.
That comes out, what, next week?
Yep, on PS3, and then it's another 2 weeks, I believe, till Xbox. Maybe just 1 week till Xbox.
Yeah, it's later this month. Yeah.
That was – apparently that one was designed and developed by the team that did TMNT on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Which was the only TMNT game that was any good. It was that old school like arcade boot 'em up style thing. So I looked it up and when I saw Scott Pilgrim, I'm like, oh, is it the same team? Because it's Ubisoft Montreal.
Hmm.
And I went – and then it totally was. I'm like, yes.
I'm afraid that game will look and sound amazing but not – be that
there's a lot of questions. Like Hillary's playing it right now, and I've played a bunch of it too. And we have a preview build of the game, and it's very. We don't know what exactly is going to be changed for the review code. And like, there's no online co-op, which sucks. In the preview build we have right now, you can't drop into other people's games. Like if I started a story mission or whatever, and you came to join me,
That's crazy for a game like that.
But that's why I'm very hesitant to say that's how it is too, because it sounds absurd, right? Like why would you make a game like that? So hopefully it's just that it's preview. There's no trophies in it, so it's not close to being final, is what that means. And so there's hope that the final version won't be like that, but we don't have it yet, so we don't know.
Looks very inspired by River City Ransom. Like, all that stuff that you go into shops and you buy things.
Yeah,
and,
see, yeah. Like, all that's really cool. Its world map is, like, such an awesome, blatant homage to Super Mario World. Like, it's so awesome. Like, yeah, I really hope that game's phenomenal.
I will say one game that I've wanted to play all year that I haven't gotten around to yet is Metro 2033. And
you
I know that's on Xbox too, but I've really wanted to play that game, and I haven't been able to get around to it yet.
That's a strange choice. It seems like there wasn't a lot of buzz about that game.
No,
I don't think it was phenomenally.
It wasn't
reviewed
well everywhere either. That's the type of game that is sort of I enjoy playing.
You like that kind of stuff.
Kind of bleak, futuristic wastelands. Yeah. Whatever that says about me, I don't know, but I do appreciate that style.
This is Arvind Kumar. He says, Scoop.
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 Don't use my real name, please. Just kidding. Do you guys know if the Move will have wrist straps? I don't want a glowing dildo flying through my $2,000 TV.
It will, and I actually made fun of Sony the first time they were showing it because they weren't using the wrist straps in any of their demos.
Why did you make fun of them?
Because Nintendo is so adamant about it. Like, you go up to a Wii, and even if you're just playing a classic controller game, they're like, put the wrist strap on. I'm like, and so like I was making fun of Sony's representatives for like, hey, you guys don't. But force us to have the wrist strap.
And then at E3, they cracked down. It made you.
Yep. So it was all my fault.
Yep. Thanks for ruining it.
You're welcome.
Also, interesting to point out is that the the glowing ball on top of the dildo, as he put it, it's soft. It's not hard plastic. Hmm. So there's a chance if it got away from you. I don't know. I don't know anything about physics. But maybe it wouldn't hurt as much.
This is Rich Slack.
Good name.
Yeah, I like that. Taylor Swift's latest single was leaked on the internet, which led to its early release.
Yes.
Is Greg angry, happy? Does he have mixed feelings? What does he think of the new song?
I am happy. I think her music should be available for everyone. I did not buy it, however. It's on iTunes. I saw it yesterday, and I listened to the preview. It's good. But I didn't buy it. Because it's 120.
You listen to the 30 seconds of the song.
I want to buy the whole album, and I'll get the songs for 99 cents then. Why buy one for $1.29 now?
I really hate that.
That's stupid.
That iTunes is trying to charge people $1.29 for songs now.
Yeah, I don't need it. Thanks.
That's why I went to Amazon.
I still listen to my Kesha when I'm building my pages, so I'm fine.
Oh, and I think you can buy the new Arcade Fire on Amazon for like $3 or something.
Is it that cheap? Yeah. I keep hearing great things about that record, but I haven't heard it yet.
I've only listened to half of it so far. I haven't gone through the whole.
Did it come out yesterday or something?
It came out a couple days. It came out a couple days ago.
Okay.
And they were doing something live on YouTube yesterday.
Records.
I'm not sure.
Okay. I didn't understand what it was, and somebody told me.
This is Adam Romano. I read a research paper in university that concluded that people do not enjoy the things they love to do when forced to do them because of work. Basically, if you are paid to do something you love, you will not enjoy doing it as much. My question is, if you are really looking forward to a game coming out and you are asked to review it, do you end up not getting as satisfying an experience because you are doing it for work? I would think being able to play a game at your own pace and your own free time would be more enjoyable than having to quickly review it and write about it. It would seem like being asked to review a blockbuster game, although good for your career, would lessen the experience for you.
I don't agree.
I don't agree either.
No.
It's like if it's a game that we're really looking forward to, like being the first to play it, I think is a satisfying
and getting
experience
to do it at work is the best part. You know what I mean? Like it kills people like when Brodvig's playing Mass Effect or whatever, and we all want to play Mass Effect, but he gets to sit there at work and play Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Especially when a huge blockbuster comes out, you get to shut down. You get to be like, I'm staying home and playing, I'm not doing, you know what I mean? Like you get to just sit there, like, you know, when I was reviewing Infamous and I was chasing blast shards at work, that was awesome. I do feel more pressure on the review when I write it, though.
If you only have a certain amount of time to get it done, then yeah, there's a lot of pressure to be done. But I'm still enjoying the hell out of it. If it's a great game, you know what I mean. It's like obviously it's a crappy game too.
Not even the time commitment. I just think that when I'm writing, when I'm on a AAA game and I'm writing that review, and it's something that I'm excited for too, then I don't want my review to seem like I was excited for it, so that's why I'm giving it this, or like I want to make sure I'm not missing anything and I'm getting the full experience and yada yada yada.
This is Christian Sanchez. Lately, I've noticed how people write in explaining how they listen to GameScoop. I thought I'd tell you what I did to listen. I'm going to be a senior, but when I was in the 8th grade, I would walk over a mile to a Dunkin' Donuts to use their Wi-Fi and download GameScoop on my PSP through RSS.
Wait, this is when he was a kid? What is that? What
he's going to be a senior in high school. Uh-huh. In 8th grade, he used to go to the donut shop.
Mm-hmm. He says, I've been a dedicated
listener. Back in my day when we had Wi-Fi. You know?
I've been a dedicated listener for 4 years. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening, Christian.
You know, Damon, I'm not sure if you're finished with all the scoops. I'm surprised the one thing you didn't talk about was Halo 2600.
Oh, I'm sorry. I, when I go back, it must have... When I go back and gather my news stories, yeah. It must have like fallen off. It wasn't on the page anywhere.
Apparently, so. It was one of the big traffic stories over the weekend.
So you went to Classic Game Expo?
Yeah. So Classic Game Expo used to happen on a yearly basis, but they took like a 2-year hiatus. Mm. But it came back in Vegas. Mm-hmm. You know, these three guys, they've John Hardy, he's the one that runs everything. And you got Sean Kelly and Joe Santulli. They run the two. They have a place called Digital Press, I think, in New Jersey. It's a store. And so they kind of just gather everything up, bring it over to Vegas, and they sell stuff there. But also, like, they have panels and whatnot. And one of the big things that came out of that that expo was a copy of Ed Fries, who used to be vice president of Microsoft's gaming division, and the guy that signed like Bungie to Microsoft as a first party. He wanted to learn 2600. So the first thing, so
he just wanted to learn how to program.
Yeah, he wanted to learn because he basically back in the day programmed a couple of Atari 800 games. So he didn't go that far back. He didn't learn the 2600. So as his first project, he decided, hey, I'm going to make a Master Chief sprite and have it move around. And that was kind of like his learning thing. But then he's like, you know what? I'm going to go further and make this into a game that's actually fun. So he did that. He spent 6 months making this game. And then Atari Age decided to manufacture like 100 cartridges. Hmm. And they sold this Halo 2600. The label was made by Mike Mica over at Other Ocean. I've known him for like years. He used to work in Next Generation with me. Hmm. But yeah, the game itself, it's very inspired by adventure.
Okay, so it's like a top-down?
It's, if you can say top-down, just, you know, the sprite moving, and then you move from screen to screen.
Yeah.
You pick up the gun, and you can shoot the bad guy, when the bad guy's called in Halo. The
Covenant?
Yeah.
I guess. But yeah.
Well, is it tough to tell?
Are they just blocks in the game?
The Master Chief, you can see Master Chief.
You can tell it's Master Chief.
Yeah, you can tell it's Master Chief, but the enemies, they kind of look like squirrels.
Well, maybe they are squirrels.
So,
get off my planet, squirrels.
So, yeah, you move from screen. It's like there's 64 screens to explore. And some areas are blocked off by like force fields that you have to get past by picking up a key or like Frank Adventure because you have to find like a gold key and then you can get through. Or some of them are like blocked off by enemies and you shoot all the enemies in an area. Then the barrier goes down. You can move on. And then there's a boss battle. That was so you know it's like you know they're selling this cartridge for $20 and it's a really cool collectible.
Yeah.
And
do you have a working?
I have it.
Did they sell out instantaneously?
Instantaneously, but certainly like I think they sold through all of them. So yeah, you can play it online if you go to www.halo2600.com. Mm. There's a Flash emulator, a Flash 2600 emulator, and they have Halo running on it.
Cool.
So you can play it, but it's just not on a cool, swanky cartridge that we have in our display case.
Nice. This is Michael Patterson. Does anyone know if Firaxis said whether the new Civilization game will allow you to build your throne room like in the games prior to Civ 4? I missed that feature and would like to see it return. The answer is no, right, Charles?
I don't believe there's a throne room in there, no.
Sorry, Michael Patterson. Scoop! Marcus V., going around the room, quick fire questions. Greg Miller, do you like the band Avenged Sevenfold?
Of course I don't know who that is. Are you effing kidding me? Come on.
Charles, are you excited for the epicness that is Gran Turismo 5?
I am actually excited about that. That's one of the few racing series that I've played almost every entry in and get super into. The last GT game I bought, I played for like an entire month. I was hopelessly addicted to the point where I was actually rubber banding controllers to do like the oval like endurance races so that I could get money or I could unlock more stuff.
How do you rubber band a racing game?
It's just you adjust the stick so that you turn properly so you don't have to pay as much attention.
So it's just an oval track that's constantly on a left-hand turn. That's all it is.
I never could do it perfectly, but at least I didn't have to have my full attention focused on the screen.
That's crazy.
It was way too much. I had to pull back.
And Craig, do you want to play Smash Brothers?
Do I want to play Smash Brothers? Mm-hmm. Sure. It's been out for like 3 months.
Were you not here on that GameScoop?
No.
Oh my god, it's a monster room! It's a monster!
I'm apparently missing something here.
Yes, last week we made up a new inside joke that then piggybacked into that inside joke. The Smash Brothers was some guy. Some kid was playing Smash Brothers with his friends.
No, he was walking down the street.
I thought that, he left his house where he was playing Smash Brothers with his friends. Him and his friends play Smash Brothers all the time.
Right.
He was left his house to go to the bar, I believe. They might have been a little drunk already.
Yeah, yeah.
And as they're walking, they look into like a basement window and see kids playing Smash Brothers. Other people playing Smash Brothers. He's like, hey, you guys want to play us in Smash Brothers?
And of course the people inside were like, no. Get out of here.
Get away from
and he
our
wrote
house.
Him like, I can't believe these guys didn't want to play. And then last week we were talking about how
Samus would roll into a morph ball and then go into your pipe and then explode, become big and explode.
We kept laughing, just thinking of like a morph ball like following you around everywhere. Like you see it like around a corner looking at it. Remember when we were talking about someone from Kick-Ass being in Friday the 13th?
Vaguely.
Hannibal Kane. Or IGN username Thomas Valiant has the answer.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a movie buff. One of my favorite movies in recent history is the remake of Friday the 13th.
Really?
I'd like to confirm, the guy that goes in search of weed at the start of the movie with the glow stick is not the same guy. Not the same guy who plays Kick-Ass or Dave in the movie. It's actually Jonathan Sadowski, who played a low-level hacker in Live Free or Die Hard.
Interesting. There you go.
The guy who played Dave in Kick-Ass is actually Aaron Johnson. Sorry to burst your bubble, Greg.
No, it's fine. No,
had to
it wasn't really
you.
A bubble. It was just something I thought I put together.
This is Insanity Manity.
That's a good name.
I was wondering if anyone's doing a feature or guide to help explain the gameplay of Harmony of Despair. That's the new Castlevania game that just came out XBLA this week. Seems like there's definitely a fun game here, and I could have a solid four-man squad play easily, but I don't want to throw them into it blind. Yeah, the problem with that game is that it doesn't explain anything to you. It is fun when you get a bunch of people together and figure some stuff out, but the game really needs to explain more. But we did a strategize on it this week, and there's also a FAQ on the IGN.com.
Yay! Scoop!
This is from Peter in Denmark. I have a question for the Raging Canadian.
Oh, that's me, I guess.
What the hell happened to Command Prompt? There has not been a new Command Prompt for almost 3.5 months. Has PC gaming really kicked the bucket?
No, it hasn't. I've just I haven't recorded one. there have been a lot of changes.
You realize we get a lot of emails about this.
No, I mean, I'm not on the email chain, well, so.
I'm telling you, we get a lot of emails about this.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that needs to happen. I'm aware that needs
okay.
to happen.
All right. We're almost there.
We're almost there. I can see her.
This is Kevin McCullough. I'm getting closer to graduation. I had an interesting thought. What was the Scoop Crew like in high school? Were you popular? Were you loners? Did you spend your time gaming or doing other things? And when you were ready to graduate, did you know what you wanted to do?
I'll go, I guess. Let's see. I just did homework, played video games, and played hockey, and that's pretty much it in high school. That was my entire high school existence up until senior year when I was like, wait, I can do other things. And then I didn't know what I wanted to do.
I was not popular. I will definitely say that. I was, you know, maybe on the bowling team. I was doing some video production stuff in the, you know, but I was also working full time because you know I need money to fuel my video game addiction.
Mm.
But yeah, I was not popular.
I was popular enough. I was in theater and in choir. I played some games, but I kind of like fell out of gaming during high school, and then I got back into it big time when I went to college. But when I graduated, I didn't really, I mean, I knew I wanted to do something with like music or performance, something like that, but I didn't really have a clear idea of it. So I just went to the University of Kansas where all my friends were going
to
figure it out.
There you go. Follower. I'll fall under the popular enough category. I was, I mean, there was a group of jocks who were more popular, spoiled jerks, but, I was popular. I was a theater kid. I was voted most likely to be a star.
Yeah,
class clown and most creative.
That's not surprising in the very least.
No, right. And I was doing newspaper stuff hardcore, and I knew what I wanted to do. Yeah.
Greg Miller never
questions his future.
Doug in Calgary thought we would enjoy these pics of the greatest Baroness cosplay ever, and I have to agree. This one is a big success.
Mm-hmm. Was that at Comic-Con?
No, this is not on white background. This is just a professional lady here, it looks like.
So is that considered cosplay then?
What, she's wearing a costume?
Yeah, but I mean, like, cosplay is generally, I mean, just because you're standing in front of, like, and taking photos, I mean, you're in a costume, but I don't know if that's really cosplay.
I count.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and count this.
I'm going to count whatever that is.
Five stars. Yeah. There you go.
It's outstanding. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely outstanding.
Really outstanding. Oh, listeners, what we're looking at is this super cute Asian girl in a Baroness outfit, and she is really, really hot.
Sounds about right.
Good pick there, Doug.
Yeah, that's she's
from Calgary. And that's all the scoops that we have for you this week. Remember, if you're in the Bay Area, come see us at the Powell Street Game Scoop GameStop tonight. Tell me the password, Scoop.
Tonight is Friday.
Yeah,
bring
Friday.
Your PSP.
I will pre-order Halo Reach for you.
What are they actually showing at the event?
They're showing new footage of Halo Reach.
Oh, okay.
They have like a 30-minute video.
Then 30-minute video.
Yeah, 30-minute video. Jeez. About the game, and it is actually new exclusive footage that they're showing there.
Oh, okay. When does the game come out?
September.
Okay,
sometime. So thank you, Greg. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Craig. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out. Come get some. Beware,
IGN GameScoop. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.